This audio presentation is the teaching of Chaplain Frank Castagnetti of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Truth, was delivered on July 28th, 2019. Here now is Frank.
Test. Okay. So how's everybody doing? Good? Good morning. All right. Yes, it is warm. Before I start off, I wanted to say a couple things. It's been a very busy summer for my wife and I. Even though I work at the elementary school at Keone Poco, I'm a 12-month employee. So as you know, my wife and I want to thank you folks for allowing us the honor and privilege of going with the leadership team, with Pastor and Christy, over to Nashville for the annual leadership conference. It was just amazing to be there amongst leaders and hearing the business of the church that pertains to all of us, but also the praise and worship and being able to be around some real movers and leaders. So we thank you from the bottom of our heart to go there and represent New Hope, Hawaii, and the Four Square to be able to spend some time there. As an added thing, as you know, my wife is a musician also, and so that was a bucket list trip for us. We stayed an extra week for the K-Love Fan Awards, which was also an amazing thing to be able to, you know, if you're listening to K-Love or Christian music, contemporary music, a lot of those groups were there. So we were able to do some meet and greet and some time with those folks and have some smaller time. And I think that allowed us, because they really are approachable, and they came and they were encouraging us and they were telling us their story, and their stories are no different than any of ours. I think their testimonies of being able to be up and worship and be on the radio and have this recognition allows them to be effective in the gifts and the tools that God has given them. So I want to encourage you, whatever it is that God has given you as your gift, as your skill set, work that hard for the Lord. Some of it gets recognized, others doesn't, but God knows. That's who needs to know what's going on. So we want to encourage you for that. So thank you again for allowing us to go. The other thing, I just came back from a conference in the mainland in Vegas. We were there all last week. And it's the annual school safety conference. And school safety is a big thing, and we're getting ready for the school year. And this conference was different for the vice principal and us because we weren't there with a lot of, there were educators in the conference, but the people doing the presentations, it was law enforcement. So we were there with the FBI, United States Secret Service, FEMA management, Department of Homeland Security. Those folks were there. And then, of course, they had their experts. Now, the experts carried credentials, but they're part of these federal agencies. And what I want to pass on to you is that if you go onto any of their websites and you look up school safety, you'll find drop-down menus and stuff. One, it's free. Two, it's good information. Now, I'm a skeptic of anybody from the government that's here to help, so I get it. But what they have on there is a lot of good information. And the past, President Obama's administration and President Trump's administration take school safety very, very serious. They are not joking around. They have the numbers, they have the statistics, they have the reach and the ability to get in and figure things out. The number one thing I took away, because I'm a mental health therapist, is, you know, everybody wants to know, well, what can we do? What can we do? What can I do? I don't carry a weapon in school like the school safety officer, so what's going to happen? And the number one thing that kept resounding through them, and maybe it's just the thing I needed to hear, was you got to know your students. They said, you know, way back when Columbine hit all that time ago, you know, single white male loner. That was kind of the profile, but the profile's changed. Anybody, anytime, any place, unless it's targeted things. So the message of trusting the data and the info that they're providing us, and this is real-time stuff. Every time there's a shooting or another violent episode at school, they're there, they're taking information, and then they're putting that out as kind of a holding place for everybody to know what's going on. So I want to encourage you, if you're in school or with your own kids that are students, know them. Be involved in their life. Manage, monitor, and mentor so that we are able to love on them when they go into a school situation that might be rough. And part of that is I segueing into my message on trust. So what I wanted to do was, we were up here worshiping and we were singing, and raise show of hands, Everybody trust the Lord? Yes? Show of hands is a yes? Good. I want to take a quick check with you to see who else you think you trust. So what I want you to do here is we're going to ask this question of who are you trusting? Everybody grab your phones out. I was going to do a big exercise and pass it to the person in front of you and watch your faces, but I decided to skip that. AJ, if you could scroll this up. What we're going to do is we're going to go into our phone, and what we're going to do is you're going to go both, whether you've got iPad, iPhone, or an Android, first thing, go to your settings. Okay? So go to your settings. Then on either device, Android or the Apple stuff, go to privacy or privacy and emergency. It might be slightly different. And then when you're in privacy, you want to see what microphones are on. When you're on the Android, you're going to be looking for app permissions and then microphone. Is every kind of most of you are there? Can you see what microphones are turned on right now? Show of hands or nods? Yeah, kind of, sort of. Okay. The reason I'm asking that is that sometimes when we're on an app and we need to do something and we go, I accept the terms, and it just automatically says that this app needs access to your pictures, to your location, and the microphone gets turned on. Because as you're sitting driving going, I can't find Macy's, where is it? That thing's listening and then it's going to pop up when you go to Maps. But the bigger thing is, when you look at what apps are open with the microphone, I want to know, I don't need a show of hands, are you trusting that every time you open your mouth because this microphone is on, that they're gathering that data? So what's happening is, as it pulls down your location and what you're talking about, it mines that for certain kinds of words specific to the app, and then if you were to take your phone and go into Google search, it'll suddenly start, you know, the pop-ups? The pop-ups, you're like, I was just talking about where's that bakery, and there's bakeries. So it's designed that way. It's supposed to help us spend our money for their stuff. But the real question is, do you trust these guys and these apps? I can't answer that question for you. I just know I'm paranoid, so my thing's always off. I don't want anybody to know where I'm at until the last possible moment. But I would encourage you from time to time, refresh your apps, go in there. If you don't need the microphone on because we were traveling, when we travel, everything's on. But when we come home, I'm like off. I don't need notifications, pop-ups, and push alerts, so we're out. So again, trust. If you trust it and you use it a lot and that's part of your work or your business or what you do in your livelihood, then you're there. If you're sitting there going, oh my gosh, that was like years ago and this thing's still on and it's gathering all that data and it's getting filed away, might want to consider turning it off. Okay, so that's who we think we're trusting. Do we really know much about what's going on? You know, each of those apps has a creator. Somebody sat down and figured that stuff out. And the same thing with us. We have a creator, and he knows about us. If we look at our world and ourselves as an app for what's going on. So the person who developed the apps that are on our phones and in our technological world, they're dealing with small and big things and all the things that they're trying to figure out how to help us spend money. That's really what it comes down to. They're trying to make it easy for us to shop, locate, get to where we need, make our life easier. Now, God isn't necessarily trying to make our life easier, but he is concerned with all the things that we've got going on. We base this on his promises and covenants that he's made with everyone in the past. We can look in there and see what he's shared with them and what he's done with them, and then we can look back on what our experience is of trust, right? We're social beings. We do well in groups and in relationships. And if we think back, we can think of relationships that have hurt us. We've learned over time, maybe that sting has gone away, but if we think back and we take a moment, you can remember what it was like when trust was breached, right? There's a hurt, there's a pain in there. God understands that. We always are going to fall short with each other because we have our own reasons for how we want to do things. So when we come back in with God and the Father, and we're asking him when we give everything to him, and we tell him, come into our heart, Lord God, and we pray that sinner's prayer, and we're like, Lord, I want to leave this at your throne. I want to put it right here at your feet. I want you to take care of this. But are we really doing that? Because I know throughout the day, my wife hears it. I get them. I got it. It's good. It's under control. I'm taking care of it. Now, yeah, we're doing things. We're effective. We get things done. But these "I get them" statements, the reality is I really don't got anything. I might be in the moment executing whatever it is, but if I'm a wise man, before I started that and as I was prepping for that and figuring it out, I'm giving that to God. You know, hey, I've got to get this done, that done. Lord, I'm placing this at your feet. Make the time, the resources, and the ability to get this done. So that's honest. Yeah, in the moment, I'll take credit, go, yeah, that was all me, honey, and I got it because I'm good. And then she'll smile, that loving wife, and not say anything, and I'll come back around and go, you know I'm joking. And she goes, I had no idea. So we're still figuring out our own dance there. So it's a beautiful thing that if we're honest and valid, and we can admit that there's times and situations where we think it's under control, and then you go, ooh, I didn't thank the Lord for this opportunity. I didn't thank God that I get to go do this. I didn't bring this to him, even though this is something I want. And you get that little moment, that the Holy Spirit going, don't forget to give the glory, right? So there's part of one of the things. Don't forget to do that. And you can always come back to it. The devil will tease you about it and make you feel bad. God will just be like, soft and gentle. Don't forget to give the glory. We can always have that opportunity. So in your bulletins, the first one here in Ezekiel, thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. So the first one in your highlight is behold. Now in the story with Ezekiel, Ezekiel is a prophet, as we know, and he had very vivid dreams. Very graphic, very clear, very colorful kinds of dreams. And what he found himself in this valley of dried up human bones, if you can imagine kind of the Terminator movie and the machines are moving and all you see is skulls and bones forever. So Ezekiel's having a dream like this where he's in this valley of dry bones. And he's just voila with the Lord, cruising along. And God says he'll breathe life into the dry bones so that they may live. It's similar to the creation of Adam. God took dust, breathed life into it, formed man. But this also is a promise from God that's applied to our own dry bones. Those areas in my life or the small things in my heart that we either forget or more than likely don't entrust God with. So what I'm saying here, church, is that, you know, what comes to mind is it's these small, manini, minor things that we just push aside because we want God to handle the more important things, the things that I prioritize that are bigger or I know I can't do without him. I got the small stuff, you know, here we are, I'm trying to negotiate with God, the creator of, I get the little things, you handle the big things, and I guess I'll be good. But he doesn't want that from us. We're his children. We're his sons and daughters. He wants us to trust him and talk to him about all those places in our hearts. I want to encourage you to, as I'm talking, think of a dry area in your heart and in your life that either you're like, I got it, whether it's pride or you know it's like second nature. God wants you to give that to him, not because he has to, but he wants us to trust him. Second one, number two, this is out of Jeremiah. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For its welfare, you will have welfare. So this, I spoke, I think, last time I was up briefly on this. So as you know, I'm a mental health therapist with the Department of Education. I got hired in and I was at Pahoa Elementary School. And then there were some staff movements at about 2 years into my work, you know, actually throughout the complex. And Keone Poco School lost their, one of my friends worked there, and she resigned and went into private practice. They didn't have anyone there. Pahoa Elementary had 320 students and pretty solid in there. Keone Poco had 550. No therapists down there. I had a caseload of, I think, six when I was at Pahoa Elementary. The caseload at Keone Poco at that time was 28, I think. So they needed help. So I was sitting there going, man, I really like my job. I like where I'm at. I don't want to move. I'm happy. I'm just, it's such a beautiful place. And then it started to just this thing of like, but the kids might need you. They might need some help. So then I was praying on this. Then I started having a conversation with my wife and going, I think I'm feeling this pull to maybe make myself available down there. And she was like, okay, we'll pray on it. And it felt solid between us two. So then I said, I'm going to approach my boss and offer, if he needs me, I'll go with a willing heart. Because it would be bad if I get told to go, right? I mean, we all love to just be voluntold. You need to go cover. So in some sense of preservation or, you know, a brilliance of Solomon's wisdom, I kind of just settled in that if I have to go, I want to go with a willing heart saying, I'm ready to go. And my boss was like, nah, no, thank you. I appreciate it. And I don't think so. And this was in August. School started. He's like, nah, you're good. Stay here. No need to worry about it. I'm like, all right, okay. Whew, dodged a bullet. I can cruise. And then a month later, he calls me. He goes, I think I need you down there. When can you go? I said, right now. When do you want me to go? He goes, let me talk to the principal. Let me make sure everything's all right. But I need you down there. I said, I'm ready. Send me. So I got to go down to Kionipoko. And so now I'm down and I'm covering two schools. Then he goes, no, that's too crazy. He took Poho Elementary away. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And I'm like, but I kept my office keys and my ID badge. I'm like, you know, I'm just covering. Don't forget about me. I'm covering till you hire. And then then the relationship started to form down there with the students and with the teachers and the staff. And some were open and honest. You know, the last person, I'm like, yeah, okay. But and I would always go, I went through graduate school with her, so I know her style. And sometimes it's a personality and style clash. But when we're working for the kids, that stuff we should be mature enough to put aside. So as we're going along, and I'm like, okay, Lord, this is one of these things. I'm happy here, but I want to go back. But I'm telling you now, you got to figure, this is up to you, God. If I stay, I need like a wickedly clear symbol. Like the door's got to shut and open all at once. Angels on high, people going, don't leave, whatever, something. And within a matter of that day, this was Caleb's verse of the day. They were talking about serving where you're. I mean, these things just went boom, boom, boom. And I was like, I printed it out. I put it on my wall. I'm like, okay, it was crystal clear to me. You stay. Stay here, right? Because I felt like an exile. I'm like, I was sent down there. Okay, I wanted to go. I had a good heart about it. And I really did. I had a good attitude. But it was exile. And I was like, okay. And again, I get on campus. I park. I pray. I surround the campus. I bind and break Satan. I put angels on all four corners of the campus, either campus, wherever I'm at. And I just slay the day in there. I go, this is not your place, Satan. Get out. We got this. So I pray for it, and it was. But see, here's something. If you look at this, right, pray to the Lord for its behalf, not me, Lord, not me, its behalf, where I was exiled or sent to or voluntold to go to. You're in the same spot at your work with those people who don't know the Lord, folks. You know them. You could look at it as I'm exiled here, and there's no Christians, and oh my gosh, this is terrible. I'm dying here. But if we pray for that place on its behalf, not for what I want, but its behalf, when its welfare is increased, mine's increased. And I went, ooh, that's like golden. Makes it easy for me to pray for other people who don't know the Lord or are giving me a hard time or whatever it is. And I want to encourage you in the same thing. Church, pray for where you're at. And as God works in that place, he's going to use you. He's going to use you. That got me excited. And so then I told my wife that, and then I called my boss and I said, and we were about another 8 months in, right? And I got a hold of him and I said, hey, Wade, I'm thinking I want to stay. What's it going to take for you to move me down here? So, and I have three bosses. I have my principal, who's my site administrator. I have Dr. Rob Ressler, who's my clinical psychologist. He's my clinical supervisor. And then Wade DeSaw is my administrative supervisor for school-based behavioral health. So I went in, and I talked with the VP and the principal and the SASA at the school, and I said, I'm thinking of staying. And they were like, they got out of their chairs and gave me a hug. Oh, my God, that'll be so good. This is great. And I'm like, I don't know if I got permission, so I might need your help. But if you're on board, I think we'll be all right. Rob Doc was all over it. He goes, "Bro, if you can take over this school and I don't have to worry about you, come and you've got this under control, you make my job easy." So another hint for workers, you help your boss have his work be a little easier, your life is a lot easier. So I had the principal, vice principal, and the SASA, and my clinical on board. I emailed Wade, and he said, "Yeah, sure, no problem." I put a little effort into my rationale. He sent me like a thing from his phone, said, "Yeah, no problem." I felt dismissed. But he said, "No problem." I still have the text. He said, "No problem." So I reminded him next month, "Remember you said no problem?" He goes, "Yeah, we'll take it." So I didn't know what it was about. So it was a simple move the number from here to there. Because even though I'm at the school, I'm a district position. But this scripture was solidifying for me. So I want to pass this to you folks. Number three. And we've heard in Proverbs, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We know that one. But number three, give me your heart, my son, my daughter, okay, sorry, my son, my child. We'll do that. Give me your heart, my child, and let your eyes delight in my ways. Well, here's a big trust fall. It's not about me and my ways and what I think I know or what I do know. Because I'm pretty good at some things. Glory to God. But this one, also, I was like, I delight in your ways, but I'm the one doing the work. It's my ways. I give you glory. So this one, it took me a little while to work through this. Give me your heart, my child, and let your eyes delight in my ways. So I was like, okay, I'm a Marine, and I'm pretty simple and straightforward. You got to illustrate this for me, Lord. And so things started to, like, appear in my senses where I could go, ooh, I didn't see that coming. Then I went, and I get chicken. I was like, okay, I didn't see that. That was unexpected. I kind of like that. That was neat. Kids coming up saying, "Mr. Frank, such and such and such," and I'm like, "You talking to me and you're giving me this info? Let's go take care of this." Just out of the blue, kids going, "I need your help. Can you help me with this?" I'm like, "Sure, let's make this happen." And things were happening. You know, kids are coming up. They're getting kicked out of class. They're pissed. Teacher's pissed. Everybody's upset. I said, "Come on, let's take a walk." And part of it is in the therapy of walking therapy. Steps set the brain. Because it's two lobes, so this gets kind of like calms the mind. And if we walk at a certain pace and I have a rhythm in my voice and they're listening, I can bring their brain out of that amygdala hijack, that reptilian brain, back up to the prefrontal cortex where we can maybe have a conversation. And I always start with, "I wasn't there. Tell me what happened. Help me understand." And they start going, and there's some words in there. I'm like, "Okay, just not so loud. You can swear, but you don't need to let everybody know you're mad." And we're talking, and they get through it, and I'm like, and I pick one or two things. So it was this and this, yeah, and then the da-da-da-da, and then they're going again, and I know they're still kind of activated up here. And then I said, "Whew," and they stop, and they look at me, and I go, "That sucks. Oh, I'd be mad too. I'm thirsty. Let's go get some water." And then it was just this validation and listening. But then I'm like, "Now help me, what is it that Mr. or Mrs. wanted? What did the teacher want you to do?" And they'll run off and say, "We're supposed to do this and then that and that." And I'm like, okay, so they understood the instructions. It's multi-step, it's complex, and it's going to take a few minutes. That's a lot for an elementary kid to be able to just not regurgitate that back to me. So I knew what they needed. I was convinced and confident that they knew what was expected, the expected behavior, not the preferred, what was expected. And I said, "So when you and I are done here, what do you think's going to have to happen?" "I got to go back and do what she said." "Oh, that sucks." He goes, "It doesn't it?" "Yes, it's terrible." I'm like, "Man, I don't know if I could do it. Can you do it?" "I don't know. You want me to come with you?" "Yeah." "Do I have to do it first?" "I don't mind mentoring and modeling. Could you?" "Sure, I can try it." And sometimes they're like, "No, I get them. You want me to watch? Can you? Okay." And they'll get back at it. So some of the things that were God's way of working in there were just delightful for me. The teacher's like, "What was that about?" And I'm like, "Just don't look the gift horse and move. Teach. Go for it. You teach. We're a team. Get on it." And then the day works. So again, as we talk, this proverb and then Proverbs 3, God wants us to talk with him about everything in our heart, church. He wants he doesn't want us to just prioritize it and lean on our understanding, lean on Frank's understanding, what Frank thinks is going on and what's happening. God wants that for us. He wants to us to seek out and follow his ways and look to him so he can set our path straight. And if we're honest and we're building a healthy relationship, it's beyond being open and it's beyond being vulnerable with all those parts of us. You know, it's those small things, it's those ugly things, it's those sinful things, those choices or thoughts we have. It's the hurt we have and the brokenness we have inside. You know, oh yeah, you know, that was way back and I'm kind of over it. Not if we're talking about it. It maybe doesn't hurt as much, but it's still there. And that's meaningful. God doesn't want us to be really necessarily walking wounded, you know. We have wounds, but those are our testimonies. But when we're living in that past and relying on that, and I'm pulling energy from that, because we do get a lot of that, we get a lot of energy from what's happened. It's never going to happen again. I'm going to get through this, by golly, because that's not happening. Well, okay, I get it. But what's giving us the energy? That past pain. He's love. He wants us working from that and trusting him. That's where he wants us to come from. Number four. So, this is in Colossians. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord. I could put a period right there and that's done. But it doesn't. It goes on. It clarifies. And not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, for you are serving the Lord Christ. That's a long one, sorry. It's just had to put it there. That's part of it. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So my work has nothing to do with the people that employ me. It has to do with my Father. What you do has nothing really to do with who signs that paycheck. It's important. Don't go in there and say this has nothing to do with you, because we'll both be in the unemployment line. But it's not for the men. This just moves our alignment and our sight picture off of pleasing men who we cannot please into doing things for God who wants the servant heart. Pastor Scott and Pastor Aaron are always saying, I get to. If you can put that in front of anything, the next time someone asks you for something, put something on your desk, an email pops up, if you take a breath and go, okay, Lord, it seems like I might get to, right? Because you got to prioritize this stuff. But really, I get to. It's a matter of when and how and where, obviously. But if we can all, church, if we can all kind of change up our thinking and go, I'm going to work heartily for the Lord, because knowing that my inheritance is settled because I want God as the center of my heart, we're serving the Lord Christ. Makes my job easy. Because there's some Kolohe kids. There's some Kolohe staff, if I'm being honest. You know, I mean, some of these kids, they come in and I'm like, oh, okay. And I have to very diplomatically, actually, I have to go to the principal and folks and go, you need to talk with staff, because that becomes a staffing issue. One time, no problem. Several times, I'm a behaviorist. I see trends, things occurring. That is a pattern. And we know that there's certain teachers that maybe shouldn't be teaching at all, or they should be in different grade levels, you know. It just is, and I would hope that people who are professionals, somehow you have that conversation. You don't point it out in public, but have the stories, talk story on the side. So a lot of my work is still spent, even though the students are easy, the staff is a lot harder because they've got a lot to do, and I get that. But if I'm doing that for the Lord, and Marsha can attest to this, when we spend time talking and kind of debriefing, it's like, the teacher this and that and this and da 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 da, and we get to the, what am I going to do? What's my operational next steps? I think it's this, and God will help me with that. And then we, why? Because it still comes back to relationships. God is about relationships. I cannot not be about relationships, because if he is and I'm not aligned with him, I'm not serving him. So it's easy for me to say, because I think I know what I'm doing, and most of the time I'm wrong. So here we are. Serve the Lord. Work heartily for the Lord. That is the big thing that we need to do. So when we pray that sinner's prayer and we ask God into our hearts and we ask him to take care of us, it's not just, yeah, Lord, I got this, but I need you to handle the bills, the mortgage, the car payment, the broken car, whichever that is, somebody's health, the big things. I think it's more revealing when we can take to him the small things, because the small things show that we're giving in and we're passing on and we're trusting in those smaller things that we think we can handle. I want to challenge you to think of that this week and today and as you go about your day. What is it, the small thing, that dry bone that's in your heart that you want to give to God? If you're in a relationship as a mom, as a dad, as an auntie, as an uncle, as a husband and a wife, a brother and a sister, get to one of your family members and go, what's a dry bone thing, a simple thing I can pray with you on that we can give to God? I know we get it because God's got us, but having that conversation with the Lord to push that forward to him, I want to challenge you on. Give him something small. We handed in our tithes. We prayed on those big things, and I get it. Find something small that you can give to the Lord and go, I've been holding this back from you. He wants our whole heart, which is all the good, the bad, and the ugly. Give him those other parts, those small things, those ugly things that you're like, I'm going to just tough this out, Lord. It's okay. I got it, Lord. And he's like, child, throw it this way. Throw it here. I want us to be able to do that together as a church. So the last thing, if you look at your bulletin, the takeaway is straightforward. If you start with number one, we all do it together. Number one, we're going to read what is the underline together. Ready? Behold, seek my ways, for you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your takeaway. Behold, seek my ways, for you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, that's what's important. If we take a breath and we behold, and we seek his ways, because we understand we're serving him, I think you're going to find God do some amazing things for you right in your nose. And I want you to notice those, and I want you to share those with us and talk about those instances where God confirms with you how much he loves you. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word, Lord. Help us to be able to focus on you. Put our hearts on you, Lord God, to lift up our dry bones, our small bones, the little things that are going on, and entrust you with that, Lord. You might not do much with the small things, but in my heart, I know that I've given you my heart, and I want to be able to do that, Lord, and trust you with all things that are going on. We just thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you for our leaders. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Frank. I did pretty good this week driving. Yeah, there was a biker. He just came zipping past me. I think he came in between the two cars, and there was a lady in the back. And instead of cussing, I said, "Oh Lord, protect them, keep them
good
safe."
Good job. Nice.
I was like, "Oh, I did it! Thank you, Jesus."
Good. I did good with driving this week when we were in Vegas, mostly because I wasn't driving.
Oh, okay.
But when we Ubered around, there was a few like, we are in the mainland. That's right. So nice.
As we are preaching, you know, God is working on our hearts too. We're Amen. Not just saying these no. words for you guys, because when we study and God puts something on our heart,
yeah,
I think mainly it's for us first.
Yeah, amen.
And
amen
then for
that.
You guys. So.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been getting a lot better in my driving. I've been praying more for those guys zipping in and out of traffic. Instead of cussing at them, I just like, oh, Lord, protect them, keep
Your
them
pick.
Safe, keep everybody else safe. But, man, yep. Would you? I want to ask if anybody has never accepted Jesus Christ and they need to and they want to. You want to put your trust in him. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So would you bow your heads and pray with me?
Yes,
if you
sir.
Want to accept Jesus, pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for Jesus.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
And I turn to you.
And I turn to you.
Come live in me.
Come live in me.
Change me.
Change me.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
Make me the person.
Make me the person.
You want me to be.
You want me to be.
I receive you, Jesus.
I receive you, Jesus.
As my personal Lord and Savior.
My personal Lord.
With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there, no shame. And God bless you over there. Anybody else? Listen, God bless you too over there. Anybody else? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. They are putting their trust in you. Your word says when one person repents, all heaven rejoices. And Lord, heaven is rejoicing now for those who said yes to you. Lord, use New Hope East Hawaii as a tool and to help them with their walk. We thank you so much, Lord, that we get to serve you. We get to honor you with what we do. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Hey, by the way, for those of you who wanted to buy those study Bibles, our new shipment just came in. I have like 11 more in the back if you need it. It's $37 if you need one. Come see me after service and we can take care of things, all right? So would you stand? And we are going to sing. What are we going to sing?
Your favorite song.
Right. We're going to sing his favorite song.
You've been listening to Chaplain Frank Castagnetti of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.